The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. To your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take place at the table.' Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, repeat after me. We are worthless slaves. We are worthless slaves. Give it all you got. We are worthless slaves. All right. So, did you get it out of your system? Okay. I hope so. That was the whole point of that little exercise. Here's the deal. Jesus, friends, say, increase our faith. And he's pointing out, you're asking the wrong question. And then goes on to tell this weird story. And by the way, please take a note that the story, not only is he now looking for a meal, leaving a meal, or sharing a meal, he's now telling stories about meals, right? I mean, it all seems to revolve around meals and table fellowship in the Gospel according to Luke. And then when he finishes telling that little vignette about the slave, then, you know, our great byline, we are worthless slaves. And I can't tell you how many people end up focusing on that piece of the scripture. And I'm here to tell you, we've talked about this before. I'm sure it will come up again because there's language in the scriptures that sort of lend themselves to this beyond, you know, on the surface level, that when you and I spend our time and our calories trying to figure out whether we're worthy or unworthy, we are wasting not only our time, but everybody else's. So please stop it. It is not about being worthy or unworthy. In fact, it is an exercise that takes us down the rabbit hole of continued selfishness and self-centeredness. As long as we're asking that question, we're not paying attention to what's going on around us. We're just focused on us. And that's not the heart of the gospel. And that kind of an exercise ain't going to get you any closer to Jesus. Okay? So just give yourself permission to knock it off. Here's what's going on. Jesus' friends say, increase our faith. He tells these stories that suggest they're barking up the wrong tree. And then this goofy story that was that followed on a scene that wasn't included in our lesson today, a wonderful image of when Jesus says, if you cause anyone else to sin, tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the sea. Now, have you ever seen a millstone? Well, work with me, John. Millstone is a huge, they're enormous stones that are carved in the shape of giant donuts with a hole in the center. And the whole point of this image that Jesus uses is to say to his friends, imagine taking one of those stones, putting it over your head, and throwing yourself into the water. It sounds pretty silly, doesn't it? Yeah. It is meant to be a silly image. He's making fun, okay? So this passage follows on that image and this whole thing about, you know, the slave and worthy and blah, blah. Again, he's poking fun at all this stuff. The whole point of this section of the Gospel according to Luke, again, go back to the primary activity of Jesus in Luke's Gospel. He's either sharing a meal, leaving a meal, looking for a meal or telling stories about meals. It is all about, his teaching is all about that you and I are connected. That's the whole point of it. We're connected. Earlier this week, I was leaving the home of one of our beloved parishioners who are in a bit of distress at this point. So I went to see them and offered anointing and laying on of hands for healing on your behalf. And as I was leaving their house, on my music cue popped up Van Morrison, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, from his album, The Healing Game. And it took me right back to my time in New Zealand in 2004 when I was on sabbatical. And here's the scene that came to me. I was in a little village on the eastern shore of the South Island of New Zealand. I was poking around and getting ready to settle down for the day, and I'd heard this rumor about a place called Hot Water Beach. And so I asked around, and the Kiwi said, oh, go down the road and turn and go to the Lieft, and you'll find it, right? And it took me about 3 weeks to figure out what Lieft was, but once I did, I could then follow directions, and I ended up on this beach. And the legend was that if you dug down deep enough, you would find hot water in the sand. Well, I get down to the beach. There's this huge squall coming in off the ocean. I mean, it's just getting ready to rage. And so I thought, oh, I better get on this. So I dig this hole, and I get down about 2 feet, and sure enough, this water starts coming up out of the sand, and it's hot. And so I thought, this is so cool. So I stood in this hole in the hot water up to my knees while this squall comes raging onto the shore, just pounding the waves, wind blowing, rain. It drops about 20 degrees. It's cold. I'm soaked to the bone, but I'm comfortable because I'm standing in hot water up to my knees. I'm the only one on the beach. No one else is around. Thank God. Might have been a little weird to watch. And here's what came to me in that moment while I stood on that beach. Halfway around the world, what came to me was you. I took the sabbatical and went halfway around the world to get away from you. And there I am, standing knee-deep in hot water on a beach in New Zealand with a squall soaking me to the bone, and what comes to me is you. And I realized in that moment that you and I are connected. And I found myself being grateful beyond words standing on that beach. And the other day, grateful for the memory that was triggered by a Van Morrison song. And I suspect it's a memory that I will take with me to the grave. You and I are connected. And that's the whole point of Jesus' teaching. Now, these days, when Marietta and I go off on vacation, we love to get in the car, take road trips. You heard about some of those shenanigans a few weeks back. But every time we go away to get away from you, guess who comes back to us? Yeah, you. I mean, you folks are always with us, no matter where we are or what we're doing. Jesus teaching, yeah, I'm with you, and you folks are with us. I mean, we are connected. You may have noticed the insert in the bulletin. I hope you take it home with you and take a look at it. Written by, and I had instructed my administrative assistant, Kate, to go ahead and print these out, get them all arranged, get them in the bulletin, without even giving it a second glance. And this morning, in my prayer and meditation time, took a look at it and went, oh my God, it's Don Morgan. Don was my professor of Old Testament in seminary, and also the faculty advisor whom I drove insane. Yeah. And he is just a wonderful man. He's a fabulous scholar of the Hebrew Scriptures, one that, I mean, I learned everything I know from Don Morgan, and boom, here he is in our bulletin. We are connected. Friday night, Marietta and I took a couple out to dinner, one of whom might end up being the new pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in Carson City. They've been looking now. They've been in a search process for over a year. They've been in our prayers as well and will continue to be. And we're sitting there over dinner looking at them going, you guys look familiar. And it turns out we know them from general conventions in the past. We're connected. Now, that all sounds romantic, right? And, you know, running across people that we've, you know, seen in another life or in another situation and realize, holy smokes, you know, we're all connected. And the teaching of Jesus in the gospel, and you can see this play out in different ways in the different stories, is that, indeed, we are all connected. Now the challenge is, act like it. And here comes, you know, the sort of moment of truth. So extrapolate that idea that you and I are connected, that we're connected to others in our lives. I mean, if you run with one of my favorite ancient Christian images, the communion of the saints, we are connected to those past, present, and future, yet to come. We're connected to the wider community. We are connected to the entire nation. Ultimately, we are connected to the world. We are connected to all of creation. And we are connected to God. And so now the challenge is, how do we act like it? You know, how do we remain mindful, and how do we act like it on a daily basis? And this is where, as you extend that idea of connectedness to others around us and to the rest of the world, we begin to notice, again, once we've dropped the rock of trying to figure out whether we're worthy or unworthy, forget that, it's a worthless exercise. Now we're focused on what's going on around us, and we begin to notice that there are people beyond our doors who might be suffering, whose lives might be in distress. And then the question arises, what do we do? What are we going to do? Well, if you go back to the Hebrew Scriptures, the piece that Sandy shared with us, how did you pronounce his name? Yeah, that worked for me. And you can pronounce it any way you want it, that name. Make it up if you have to. Just say it fast and keep moving. Watermelon will do as well, yeah. He and other prophets continuously got themselves in hot water because they challenged their people, their culture, and their leaders to stop blaming those who are suffering for their suffering. You know, how we blame the poor for being poor, or the homeless for being homeless, or those who suffer disease from being, we blame them, we as if they're responsible for that, right? The prophets knew, go back and read Habakkuk or Habakkuk or however you want to say it, read it carefully, because he, along with a number of other prophets, are crystal clear about who's responsible for that kind of suffering, and it is those who live in the quarters of power. And the kinds of decisions that we make and the kinds of policies that we set that either drop people on their heads or care for them. They were crystal clear about who was responsible, and as a result of that, a lot of them lost their lives, as you can imagine, because those in power didn't want to hear it. Well, we're back. And the same message applies. And so as we enter into an election season, Who cares who you vote for? It doesn't matter. But here's the operative question for anyone who's going to be elected to an office. Are they committed to the care of those who are suffering or in distress? And if not, they don't belong leading us, according to our tradition. So just file that by title and use that as a template as you approach your right to vote. And hopefully you will vote, even though you may not be real excited about this election, or maybe you are. It doesn't matter, because if you don't vote, you don't get to complain, right? Okay, so file that one by title. Back in 1953, this again from Eduardo Galeano, this book of meditations that I read every morning, and this was today's, October 2nd. Today, International Day of Nonviolence, let us recall the words of Dwight Eisenhower, who was not exactly a pacifist, to say the least. In 1953, as president of the country that spends the most on weapons worldwide, Eisenhower said, "Every gun that is made, every warship that is launched, every rocket that is fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed." Eisenhower. So, as we recognize this deep reality, that you and I are connected, regardless of where we are, who we're with, what we're doing, where our attention is drawn, you and I are connected, deeply and inextricably connected. Now take that and expand it to the rest of our common life, as we recognize that there are those who are suffering, there are those who are hungry, there are those who are dying, there are those who require our prayers and our efforts and our resources to help them. You will hear at the end of the service today a little add-on to our final blessing that goes like this. Lord, keep us from speaking of love while hoarding the gifts you have given us. Fill us with discontent as long as there are brothers and sisters around the world living and dying in hunger. So let it be. Take a moment.